talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
Built a box together, filled it full of songs, and buried it on the mountain beneath a pile of bones. Then we said goodbye forever to the hill that was our home, and set out across the flat lands for 40 years to roam. Ooh, yeah.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was Mountain Girl by Blue Mountain. In addition to the great Chris Isaacs talking about a home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Bailey Baker. In addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine. Winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the Charleston Home and Design Show, which we organize, and that's coming up February 2nd through the 4th, 2024. Well, I wanted to take a couple minutes just to recognize this weekend. It was 30 years ago that 96 Wave Fest premiered in Charleston. And if you're old enough and have been in Charleston long enough to remember the radio station 96 Wave, you may recall the free concerts that 96 Wave organized called 96 Wave Fest. Well, this weekend marks the 30th anniversary of the launch of the annual 96 Wave Fest concerts, which took place at Brittlebank Park. And when 96 Wave Fest outgrew Brittlebank, the concert was moved to the Romney Street landfill on the Upper Peninsula of downtown Charleston, not too far, just a stone's throw from where Charleston Home and Design Magazine is located here today. I say all this because I worked at 96 Wave during its heydays in the 1990s. This was before all the radio consolidation that took place with stations being bought up by big corporations and things like that. And 96 Wave was a very independent radio station at that time. It was owned by Woody Bartlett, an Alabama native who moved to Charleston and bought 96 Wave. And Woody was quite a visionary with regards to the music that was programmed for 96 Wave, and he was able to leverage many of the popular bands in the 1990s to play at an annual concert called 96 Wave Fest. And some of those bands that play 96 Wave Fest are household names, bands like Hootie and the Blowfish. 96 Wave was the first radio station in America to play Hootie. And that captured the attention of Atlantic Records, who signed them, and the rest is history, as you know. Hootie played 96 Wave Fest right after the release of their multi-platinum album, Crack Rear View, which was huge, as you know. Other bands that played 96 Wave include Cake, Wilco, Sunvolt, Butthole Surfers, Joan Osborne, Semisonic, Ben Folds 5, David Byrne of the Talking Heads, Three Doors Down, Stone Temple Pilots, Cowboy Mouth, 311, Puddle of Mud, Cracker, and many more, including this week's home theme artist, Blue Mountain, who, as I mentioned, was part of this week's home theme song. And there really hasn't been a radio station like 96 Wave or a concert series like 96 Wave Fest here in Charleston. And to think in this day of Ticketmaster and $4,000 Taylor Swift concert tickets, the 96 Wave Fest concerts were absolutely free. So this weekend marks the 30th anniversary of the start of the 96 Wave Fest concerts, and we thank Woody Bartlett for giving Charleston such an amazing gift. And I thank Woody Bartlett personally, because if it wasn't for my experiences working at 96 Wave and the numerous 96 Wave Fest concerts, I would not have had the courage to start Charleston Home and Design magazine. So thank you, Woody Bartlett. And also thank you to the eclectic group of employees I worked with at 96 Wave, who were able to pull off such an enormous concert event for so many years. And working at 96 Wave 30 years ago, the staff all felt like it was us against the world. Just a small staff of about 20 to 25 employees managing to stage such an amazing annual concert. And much like how I feel about starting Charleston Home and Design magazine back in 1999, after 96 Wave went off the air, today we have a staff of less than 10 who managed to pull off the impossible every 3 months, publishing Charleston Home and Design magazine and producing the annual Charleston Home and Design show, which has happened every year for the last 20 years since 2004. And joining me now are some of the staffers of Charleston Home and Design magazine. Our senior editor, Michaela Arnett. How you doing, Michaela?
Great. How are you?
Good, good. Bailey Baker, who is one of our amazing photographers / graphic designers. How you doing, Bailey?
Great. How are you?
Good, good. Kelly Parrish, our other amazing photographer and graphic designer. How you doing, Kelly?
Awesome. Thank you.
And finally, Ashley Rowell, our other editor at Charleston Home and Design magazine, which who just recently joined us. Our managing editor, Paige Taylor, took a great job in Nashville. So we're happy for her, and we're very happy to have Ashley Rowell on board.
How happy to be here.
That's great. That's great. So this is an exciting time at Charleston Home and Design magazine. The new 2023 fall issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine is out. And we just had our big magazine release party this past Thursday night at Stevens Shell Living. So thanks to everyone who came out to the magazine release party, and especially to Stevens Shell Living for hosting the party. So ladies, you four are responsible for just about all the photography you see in the magazine and everything written in Charleston Home and Design magazine. How do you all pull that off?
It's definitely a group effort. I'm looking at our photographers right now and Ashley, our other editor. It's the biggest group project I've ever worked on. And it's just a collective effort, and we wouldn't be able to do it without the awesome local projects we photograph and write about.
Yeah, and every 3 months we're at the bottom of the mountain, and it's a long, tall climb, and then we get to the top, and we put out a new issue, and then it's back to the bottom of the mountain.
Start all over again, yep.
Hero to zero, that's for sure. And as I mentioned earlier, we have a very small team at Charleston Home and Design magazine, which always amazes me how we managed to pull off putting out a 260-page issue every 3 months, along with all the numerous other tasks like publishing all the magazine's content on social media and fulfilling all the promises we make to our 140 or so advertisers. So tell our listeners about the new fall issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine, Michaela.
So the fall issue is full of a bunch of good stuff. We've got on the cover Mike and Gray Benko from Magnolia Network's Happy to Be Home with the Benkos. If you're familiar with Chip and Joanna Gaines' Fixer Upper, that is their television network. So kind of just doing everything that we like to cover in our magazine. They've got a show about historic renovations around Somerville. And we got the opportunity to go inside their own historic home in Somerville and learn a little bit more about them as individuals and as designers and fixer-uppers here in Charleston. And in addition to that, we've got our annual remodeling feature, which is kind of a dual feature. It's got remodeling ideas and before and after projects. So you can see a little bit of both parts of the design world there. And then we've got our kids feature showcasing local kids rooms that were designed and built by local builders and designers to create more space for these kids to be children and have fun, and so that the mess wouldn't spill over into the rest of their home. So there's a lot of cool storage solutions in that feature as well.
That's great. Well, Bailey and Kelly, what are some of your thoughts or recollections from doing all the many photo shoots that you all did for the fall issue?
I think my favorite part of all of it was putting together the before and after guide and getting to see all of the stunning renovations from what they looked like before to the the beautiful thing that has become of it now. And we've just got so many great advertisers with us that have created these beautiful projects. And it's something that I hope to one day have for myself. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. How about you, Kelly?
I was blown away by the fun paint colors and textured wallpapers used in the Hues of Happiness cover story. I just loved every single space that we shot for the Banco's home, and I'll definitely never forget it.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And you hit the nail on the head, Bailey, when you mentioned all our great advertisers, because without their projects, we wouldn't have much of a magazine. And just for folks, we have a lot of newcomers to the area. For folks that are maybe unfamiliar with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, we're a local publication. We have local staff, as we've been talking about. And all of the projects in Charleston Home and Design Magazine are local. And we go to great lengths to identify all the contractors and suppliers that are responsible for these great projects. And we tell our readers so that Charleston Home and Design Magazine becomes a great resource for people that are thinking about remodeling, who are currently remodeling, or for people that are getting ready to build a custom home or currently building a custom home. Get great inspiration and see these awesome, beautiful projects. And then also they know who to call if they want to try to work on, have those contractors work on their projects themselves. So, and Ashley, you're new to us. How's your experience been so far?
It's been fantastic. I've only been here for like 2.5 weeks, I believe, and I'm learning a lot, and I'm super excited to get started and write and learn everything I can from Michaela.
That's great. And besides the hard copy that we publish every 3 months at Charleston Home and Design Magazine, we've got a very active social media presence as well. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so we do our best to update the blog weekly with digital versions of the stories that we've printed in the most recent issue. If you are just interested in reading the digital version, we've got a link to that on our website and in each one of our bios, whether it be Facebook or Instagram. Just type in CHD Mag, and then that first link in our bio will take you to the digital issue. But we try to keep it fresh and fun, and post daily on all of our platforms to keep you inspired and keep you up to date in case you might not have gotten a chance to pick up the magazine yet.
Well, that's great. Well, we got a great radio show coming up with general contractor David Partridge with Pear Tree Homes. Also, Chris Vial with Easy Stones, a natural stone wholesaler in North Charleston. And finally, Dan Geiger with Advanced Water Systems. Have a great weekend. And talking to us now is general contractor David Partridge with Pear Tree Homes. How you doing, David?
I'm doing well, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. David, take a moment and tell everyone about Pear Tree Homes.
Sure. So Pear Tree Homes is a custom home builder and remodeler here in Charleston. We serve kind of the coastal area between Edisto Beach through Folly. We've recently started to expand into the Daniel Island, Mount Pleasant, Isle of Palms marketplace, but we specialize in custom renovations, additions, new construction, and spend a lot of time with design and getting all the planning ahead of time so that we can hit the ground running and be ready to knock out our projects.
Excellent. So Pear Tree Homes, you folks can help people with new construction and also with remodeling projects. Is there a limit to what type of remodeling or renovation projects? I imagine there might be some things that maybe are a little bit too small that Pear Tree Homes won't take on.
Yeah, that's right. We try to focus on larger projects. Kitchens and a couple of bathrooms or sunroom additions, mother-in-law suite additions, generally, larger than about $100,000 range, I'd say, there and up would be the minimum.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And talk about what a homeowner will experience when they work with Pear Tree Homes. Like, what is the process that Pear Tree Homes uses that you have found to be successful to create an overall successful project for a homeowner?
Sure. You know, big for us is communication, but also, you know, setting expectations up front and making sure we get all of the details, all the planning done ahead of time before starting a project. We don't want to, you know, get just enough information to start a project and then be asking questions throughout, waiting on answers. So, you know, to start off, we make sure we have meetings with our clients to kind of explain the whole process and what that looks like from design through pre-construction and then obviously the construction. And you know, once we decide mutually that we're a good fit, we move forward and we plan out everything, every little detail, every possible question that we would need to have answered, we get answered ahead of time in our pre-construction phase, from selections to, you know, looking at plans, calling out potential issues with plans that we need to think about, that kind of thing. Value engineering, you know, ways to save some money and spend it in ways that make more sense.
What does that mean, value engineering?
Well, you know, the biggest thing is, I would say, is the difference in truss, you know, engineered, structurally engineered building materials versus, you know, nominal lumber. You know, engineered lumber is a lot more expensive than traditional lumber, and, you know, it has its perks. It can span longer distances and things like that, and you can space them out further apart to carry the same amount of load, but it is a lot more expensive. And so in a lot of cases, we can stick frame a building for less than it would cost to truss, you know, joists and roof trusses and that kind of thing. So if a particular client comes to us with plans already, they've already gone through architecture and they've got their plans and we're kind of planning the rest of the project, then, you know, a lot of times it'll automatically call out, you know, engineered framing systems, and so we can try to save some money where we can to spend it in places that we would like to, you know, make the project not only look better but function better. So
yeah, I've always heard that and we experienced this when we had our house built, was the architect will draw the plans, but they may not have their finger on the pulse exactly of what the best materials are to choose. So they'll spec a particular material, and then the builder takes a look at the plans and says, you know, we're not going to compromise the structural integrity if we use this type of material instead, and we'll save you money, and you can put that money toward you know, buying a nice chandelier for your foyer or something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, a lot of times engineers will automatically go with the, you know, this engineered structural components, and you know, not every project warrants going that direction. If we can use traditional lumber for short spans of joists, or if it's a smaller roof, it, you know, a lot of times it makes a lot more sense to stick frame it versus, you know, trying to fly in trusses with a crane. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases, it's you know, almost impossible to get a crane into some of these, you know, some of these areas, some of these projects. So
right. So what?
Take a holistic approach and really, you know, look at everything and think about every little detail that you know, that may come up during that planning process. And honestly, a lot of times our clients are surprised at the amount of time that we take in planning a project. But, you know, we think it's important We don't want to rush into anything. So,
how do you, as a general contractor with Pear Tree Homes, handle the inevitable question of what's the cost per square foot going to be to build or remodel?
Well, I mean, if we get that question early, it's, you know, I really can't answer it because we don't know, we don't know what they want to build. A lot of times I'll say, you know, what they ask that question. I say, what, you know, how much does a car cost? Are we talking a baseline Kia, a middle of the road Mercedes, or a, you know, top of the line Lamborghini? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all vehicles. They all have four wheels and they drive on the road, but, you know, it's a completely different animal. So, I try to, you know, help them understand that I can't answer that really without knowing more information and you know, go from there.
Yeah, because certain things, like, you know, someone's building a dream home. I've always wanted a metal roof. I've always wanted, to have a swimming pool. I've always wanted to have my dream home will have an elevator. And some of those big ticket items will throw off the cost per square foot versus not having a metal roof, for example, right?
Certainly. Absolutely.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, what kind of contracts does Pear Tree Homes use when you're talking with a homeowner about their project? Like a cost plus or a fixed contract, time and material contracts?
Yeah, so mainly we are cost plus. That doesn't mean that we are, just throwing out estimates and using a lot of allowances. We really try not to get into allowances at all. We'd like to know all those details. You kind of find a lot of times in fixed cost contracts, you know, a third of the contract is allowances because, you know, they're just making assumptions and those would need to be answered later on. And it's not really an accurate reflection of what the project, the true cost would be for the project. Mm-hmm. So we try to focus on cost plus, and we, plan out the entire project. And once we get into our pre-construction services with our clients, we know that they're serious about the project, and we engage our, subcontractors at that time and get them to, go over the plans, go over the job site and give us, more realistic numbers of what we're looking at. And that allows us to be, way more accurate with our pricing and setting the budget and setting the expectations.
Yeah, we used a cost plus system when we had our house built. And I liked it because of the transparency. And also it gave us the option if we were interested in upgrading from, say, regular windows to impact rated windows, we knew the cost involved, and that was our decision to go ahead and spend the extra money on that. And plus, you know exactly what the builder is being paid too. That's part of your service, and the plus, that's where the plus comes in, right?
That's right. I mean, I agree. I think it is more transparent. I think it's the most efficient way of going about it. It's the most cost effective ultimately, because you're not paying the contractor for the risk that they're taking on with a fixed price contract. So I think it's the least expensive way of getting the job done. And like you said, it's transparent and gives you the opportunity to save money. I mean, you only pay for what the work we're doing. So, I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Well, good deal. Well, we've only scratched the surface, but for folks that may want to have some of their own questions and want to reach out to Pear Tree Homes, what's the best way to get more information about Pear Tree Homes?
Sure. You can find us online. Our website is www.peartreehomes.net. You can call our office, 843 343-5808. We're also on social media on Facebook and Instagram. Pear Tree Homes, I think it's Pear Tree Homes 843, I believe. And actually starting in January of next year, we're going to start putting out some video blogs on YouTube, education-focused video blogs to help our potential clients and past clients with home maintenance type things and expectations when they're taking on new projects. So,
excellent. Well, look forward to seeing that. Well, we have been talking with David Partridge, general contractor with Pear Tree Homes. And you can always find Pear Tree Homes within the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Thanks so much, David.
Thank you.
And talking to us now is Chris Vial with Easy Stones. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well, Tim. How are you today?
Just fine. Chris, take a moment and tell our listeners all about Easy Stones.
All right. So Easy Stones, we're a wholesale importer, and we sell, to fabricators, across the low country and, throughout the country, actually. We have been in the Charleston market since November of 2021. Our corporate headquarters office is in Atlanta. We have 14 offices nationwide, with several others on the horizon, hopefully by the end of next year. And basically, we import the stone and homeowners can come have a look. And that's kind of in a nutshell, who we are.
Gotcha. So Easy Stones, you folks are a stone wholesaler, and describe because what's the difference between a stone wholesaler and a stone fabricator who might fabricate, which is just a fancy word for cutting the stone to install in your kitchen counters or your bathroom vanity, what have you?
Sure. So the difference is, obviously we don't sell directly to the public as we are a wholesaler. Our customers are, going to be your fabricators who, like you said, basically once somebody has selected their material, we sell it to the fabrication company, whoever it may be. And from there, they will, work with the end customer, homeowners, et cetera, to cut the job to, their preferences and kind of work with them on, layouts and things like that. Whereas, like I said, we sell directly to the fabricators. That will be our customer.
Gotcha. So the fabricator, they're the ones that come out to your house and they measure everything very carefully to determine how much stone will be needed. But before they start to cut the stone to fit your space, the homeowner has to pick out the slab of stone. And what's a slab? Describe for our listeners what a slab of material looks like.
Well, a slab of material is basically just a large piece of stone. With natural stone, it varies, on how large it is. But typically anywhere between 50 and 75 square feet, usually about 120, 110 to 130 inches by anywhere from 56 to about 80 inches. Mm-hmm.
I always think of it as just so people can get a visual in their mind. Picture a piece of plywood. And because that's the type, it's not like a gigantic stone. It's a flat piece. A slab is a flat piece. That sort of is an oversized piece of plywood in terms of its size.
Right. That's a very, very good way of putting it. And there are different thicknesses. Basically the industry standard tends to be 3 centimeters, which is about 1.25 inches. We also carry several materials in 2 centimeter and also a handful in 1.5 centimeter. In addition to, you know, granite, quartz, marble, quartzite, things of that nature, we also carry a line of porcelain, and that's going to be 1.2 centimeters or 12 millimeters. So we've actually just added that to our collection, and it's been doing really well. We've got some beautiful colors, so we're really excited about that.
And when you say porcelain, people think of porcelain tile. Is it similar to porcelain tile?
In a sense, it's going to come in a slab form. Typically, the porcelain slabs are about 126 by 63, mm-hmm. So about 10.5 feet by just over 5 feet. And porcelain is great. It can be it's very versatile as far as uses. You can use it outside. You know, it's wonderful. So even though people hear it and they say, well, you know, that's pretty thin, it is very strong once it is installed after fabrication and all of that. Mm-hmm. So it really does give a nice, elegant, clean look to any area, basically. So it's great. Anything from shower walls to outdoor kitchens to, you know, fireplace, full walls, all kinds of very cool things that you can do with it. So
it can get wet. That's not a problem.
Mm-hmm. Not a problem. And, you know, with certain materials, they don't handle the elements being outside as well. So, you know, some materials may rust, others like quartz, for instance, it doesn't do well outside because, it will, you know, the sun basically will make it fade over time.
Yeah.
Whereas in porcelain, we don't see that. So that's a major advantage.
Gotcha. So before a homeowner may be already working with a fabricator mm-hmm. for their project, but before that fabricator will start to cut the stone, he or she will send the homeowner to a wholesaler like Easy Stones to say, hey, you need to pick out the exact slab that I'll be cutting. I need to get your approval on that before I can start any of cutting of your countertops.
Sure.
So they'll send the fabricator. The fabricator may send you to any wholesaler that they happen to think of, but the homeowner doesn't have to go to that wholesaler. They can go directly to Easy Stones, and the fabricator will ultimately get that slab that they pick out from Easy Stones. So they're free to go to any wholesaler they want, right?
That is absolutely correct. And, you know, we have a wonderful facility and a great crew over here. And really the way it works is, you know, if a homeowner comes in, you know, they tell us who they're working with. A lot of times they'll actually come in before they've really gotten the process started. And so if the fabricator changes, you know, we can certainly send their selections to whomever they choose. We work with, you know, just about everybody in the area. So, you know, but basically once you, you know, a homeowner walks in, you know, we'll greet them and one of our customer service representatives will walk with them and explain, you know, the advantages and, you know, disadvantages of particular materials, you know, whether it be granite versus quartz or quartzite, et cetera. And, you know, from there, basically, we have, you know, a star system that basically kind of shows the pricing to the homeowners. So it kind of gives them a ballpark, you know, of, okay, we need to stay within this budget. Okay. Well, we should probably keep it, you know, between 2 and 3 stars materials. Yeah. So,
and that's always, I'm sure, a little bit confusing for homeowners to be like, why can't you just give me the price of the slab? But the issue is there might be some intricate, cuts that will affect the ultimate price of the countertops that are being installed. And so You may be disappointing a homeowner if you give them a price and then it turns out to be more because there were more intricate cuts involved So you use Easy Stones uses a star system. So is it like would the 5 stars be the most expensive?
We go up to 7 actually.
7, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the 7 yes. would be most expensive. And then like
That's correct.
A 1 star would be like do they still? I always think of Ubatuba. Is Ubatuba still an option?
It is. Your Ubatubas, your Luna Pearls, Dallas White, things like that will always still kind of fall into that 1 star category where it's going to be more budget friendly, basically. But it doesn't mean that the material itself is a lower quality or anything like that.
It's just more availability of that material. And
they're more abundant and they're easier to extract from the earth as they're closer to the surface, whereas some of the materials that are extracted are, you know, closer to the core and, you know, therefore harder to extract and, you know, deeper within the surface of the earth. So those costs get passed along to us. And sometimes we'll see, you know, rare colors that are going to be more expensive, obviously, for that reason. Mm-hmm. So all of these things kind of determine, you know, what the price is.
Gotcha. Well, next time we talk, we're out of time, but next time we talk, I'd love to hear more about the process when a homeowner visits Easy Stones. What will they experience and how do they ultimately pick out their, and they might be making numerous choices for different types of stone or porcelain for their mm-hmm. project. But in the meantime, what's the best way for folks to get in touch with Easy Stones?
So the best way to get in touch with us is going to be to call the office at 854-999-3197. They're also welcome to drop by. We're open Monday to Friday, 8 to 5, as well as Saturday from 9 to 2. Our address is 7450 Industry Drive. That's in North Charleston off of Ashley Phosphate. And again, that's 7450 Industry Drive, North Charleston. And the best number to reach us is going to be 854-999-3197.
All right, great. And I'm on your website right now, easystones.com.
That's correct. Absolutely. And we have a great live inventory. And, you know, you can kind of get a look at what we have in stock and all of that stuff from there. So it might be a good idea to kind of take a look at it. And, you know, that way you have an idea of what you're looking for before you come in.
Great. All right. Well, we have been talking with Chris Vial with Easy Stones, and you can always find Easy Stones within the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thank you, Tim. Have a great day.
And now we're talking with Dan Geiger with Advanced Water Systems. How you doing, Dan?
Very well. How are you today?
Good, good. Dan, take a moment and tell everyone about Advanced Water Systems.
We are a local water treatment company to the Charleston area. We also have offices as far south as Savannah, all the way up to Chesapeake, North Carolina, or Chesapeake, Virginia. We solve water problems for people. We have a variety of different products that can fix certain things such as hard water, filtered water, even chemicals that are possibly in your water.
Gotcha. And I heard a report that came out last week from the Environmental Protection Agency, and I thought of Advanced Water Systems immediately, and I said we need to talk to you about this report that just came out. And I know that I'm sure you're not the type of person that wants to, you know, kind of you know, drum up any fear in anyone or anything like that, but this was a pretty a pretty eye-opening report that the EPA came out about forever chemicals in our water. And can you kind of talk about the report? I'm sure you read it thoroughly.
Certainly. And we've been dealing with this this chemical for quite a long time, actually. It is it's called a forever chemical because it doesn't break down as easily as other chemicals that are possibly in water or you know, food or whatever we eat and drink. But yes, this chemical has been around for a while. Basically, its root is the nonstick from our pots and pans.
Teflon.
The Teflon. And right now, my business partners in North Carolina have a major contract to clean this particular chemical out of residential and commercial water supplies all up and down the Cape Fear River in North Carolina. So I'm very familiar with it. It is something that the chemical is growing, not growing as a chemical, but growing into different areas. It is somewhat easy to remove through reverse osmosis and filtration. But yeah, the EPA has not set a limit on this. That's why we haven't heard a whole lot publicly about it. They still have not set the minimum standards for the water municipalities right now to have to treat this.
And the main forever chemical that they mentioned in the EPA report last week, and I'm probably going to mispronounce it, but the acronym is PFAS?
PFAS, yep.
PFAS. Yep. And yep. Polyfluoroalkyl substances is
yes.
And those are the forever chemicals that you just mentioned that come from our pots and pans?
Exactly. It also, and I'm sure everybody that's listening to us right now has heard about the Camp Lejeune lawsuit. That was actually a PFAS chemical that was in the water there at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina because of fire fighting foam.
Gotcha.
And so there is this PFAS really is not just nonstick or Teflon, but it's in a lot of other things that we've used throughout the years. Mm-hmm. And still use today.
Well, I've brought this up when I've interviewed you in the past, and I think it is worthy to mention now. You know, everybody, the term city water is something that people, most people are familiar with. You know, there's well water and then there's city water. And city water for like the Charleston area, can you tell us where city water comes from?
Yeah, there's two or three different areas that the different municipalities pull water from. The lakes, the Santee Lakes north of Mount Pleasant is one area, and then the Edgestone River is the other area that most of the municipalities pull water from. So it is all surface water that's subject to runoff and things of that nature.
And I can think back to my earlier days. I've taken many a canoe trip down the Edisto River, and they call it a blackwater waterway. It's because it's slow moving, and you really you can't see the bottom. There are a lot of minerals in there, and so forth. And if I'm correct, the Edisto River is it's about an hour south of Charleston, and I just want our listeners to think about this for a second. So the water is coming from, as you mentioned, some of the lakes north of Mount Pleasant, and then also the Edisto River. That water has to get to the treatment plant here in Charleston some way, and there's a pipe that brings it in. How old do you think some of the pipe and infrastructure of those pipes is these days?
You know, I'm sure that they've been there for quite a while. I wouldn't even know where to begin how to put a number on how many years they were there. But some of the infrastructure, especially downtown Charleston, is just old. So
right. So that water comes in from the Edisto River, the same water that, you know, I remember seeing a water moccasin and other wildlife that poops in the water. That water travels through a very long pipeline and goes to the treatment plant, and a lot of the that water is treated and makes it clean. But they're not taking out some of those forever chemicals, are they?
No, they aren't. And to give our municipalities credit, they do a great job of sending us a safe water. They are all there are things in there that are nuisances, but yes, the water is safe to drink. They do treat it with chlorine and coagulation and filtration to get some of the sediment and things of that nature out of the water. The chlorine is used for disinfecting. We like to say that once it gets to your house, it's done its job. So we like to take it out because it is a chemical.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Good. That was it.
Oh, well, and then on top of that, so you've got the water is traveling, 40 miles or so by pipeline from the Edisto River to the treatment plant. And then once it's treated, it's going through miles of pipelines to get to your neighborhoods, and then from your street to your house. And I can just imagine what the inside of those pipes looks like. Do the municipalities clean the pipes regularly?
I can't. They flush the pipes with heavy water usage. If you ever seen the fire hydrants running like crazy just out in the middle of nowhere, there's really no way to put a cleaner in there. So I think they're relying on the water flowing through there to take whatever's in there with it.
Yeah. I guess I'm just trying to paint a mental picture for our listeners about that water that's traveling through those pipelines. And, you can't control those. You have to take that leap of faith and assume that the municipalities are providing you with clean water, but you do have control over the water once it reaches your home. And, what do you tell homeowners about in terms of what advanced water systems can do once the water hits your home and what you can do to clean it up and remove some of those forever chemicals?
Yeah. So the forever chemicals, if they have them in their water, that again is something where they would need to check with their municipality and see the level. The forever chemicals are, there's two ways to treat it. You can treat it for your whole house with specialized carbon through whole house filtration system that will remove them so you're not bathing or showering or cooking or drinking the chemicals. Or you can treat it with just a certified simple reverse osmosis unit that tucks in underneath your kitchen sink and supplies you with a unlimited supply of purified water.
That sounds pretty simple. I don't know why everyone doesn't have one of the two of those systems installed in their homes. And you've got a whole house option, plus you've got a one specifically for drinking water. What if somebody has like a little one of those little filters hooked up to either their refrigerator or the faucet for their tap water?
Regular carbon filtration will not take out chemicals, except for chlorine. Not even the ammonia side. The Charleston area, the disinfectant is called chloramines, which is ammonia and chlorine mixed together. So a refrigerator filter uses just a basic carbon. And 99.9% of the other filters that are under a sink or attachments to a sink only take out chlorine. They won't remove the any other chemicals, VOCs or forever chemicals.
How does the water, the filtered or the reverse osmosis water that advanced water systems can help folks with, how does it compare to, say, bottled water that they can buy?
Certain types of bottled water are actually all right. you really have to read the label to see what's in that water or how it was processed. Being an old bottled water veteran myself, I used to run a bottled water plant in Columbia and Charleston years and years ago. We used reverse osmosis for our process. Mm-hmm. So some of the waters are really good. Some of them are, just kind of like a refrigerator filter type water. Mm-hmm. So it's really important you do your homework on reading the label, see what the process is on bottled water.
Yeah. I guess that's you know, if you asked a homeowner which is going to provide you a cleaner drinking water, a bottle of water, or you know, water that's coming straight from the tap unfiltered, they'd probably say the bottled water, but what you're telling me is the water that Advanced Water Systems helps people with at their home, that's above and beyond. That's superior to even what you get with bottled water.
Yeah, the bottled water process is very similar. The exception is you're putting it in a plastic container that was made from chemicals and all those leach. So the water itself maybe was 99.9% pure or 98% pure when it was put into that bottle, but coming out of that bottle into your body, most likely would be some type of a leach from the bottle itself, whether it be plastic or other chemicals that the bottle's made out of.
Yeah. Sometimes those pallets of bottled water sits in unconditioned warehouses for months and months before it goes to the end user.
Yep.
Well, are there... Did the Advanced Water Systems, the water filtration systems, did they take up a lot of room in your house? Do you have to have a big house in order to have you place a system in there?
No, they're very, very compact in most cases. From the reverse osmosis standpoint, we actually have two of them. One of them is for a regular size sink, and then we have a smaller one that actually we can fit underneath those low drop down country sinks that people are starting to put in their homes.
Mm-hmm. And what about folks with well water?
So we have a variety. I have over about 40, 42 different systems that we sell for different things. You know, our well water around that this area here is. Some of it has sulfur, the rotten egg odor. We have automatic systems that remove that. Some of them have very hard water, that being also with city water people. We have water softeners that can take care of that. And then we have a variety of different things to raise pH levels if they have low pH, or even whole house reverse osmosis if they have salt intrusion.
Well, we've been talking a lot about the health aspect of having clean filtered waters with a water filtration system from Advanced Water Systems. But what about the health of some of the appliances in the home that uses that water?
Yeah, it's from a city water standpoint, some people in the Charleston area have a little bit of hard water. Hard water breaks down your soaps. It gets in your water heaters and turns back into its natural rock state. Especially a tankless heater, the calcium resolidifies and causes a buildup in those. From a filtration standpoint, if you ever were to take off the back of your toilet tank and reach down where that rubber flapper is that lifts up and down all the time, and rub your finger on it. It'll turn your finger black, and that's from the chlorine eating that rubber seal away, and that happens all throughout your house. Hmm.
And everybody just assumes because they want everything to run as it was when it was first installed, whether it be your dishwasher or your washing machine, or some of the the faucets and shower fixtures that you use, but they're, you know, you're going to have to replace them at some point. And if you want to get a longer life out of those appliances, will it advance water systems? Will you folks be able to help them with that?
Yes, we will. That's, you know, one thing that water filtration or water softening or even water treatment will do from your house for your house is save all your water using appliances. What we normally do is we go into the house and we perform a water test to see what in the water could be affecting not only the person's health but their home, and then we can recommend the proper system to help eliminate any long-term issues that they might have.
Gotcha. Well, I would imagine if there's one thing that you want to have, it's the cleanest water possible, because you know, you use water so often, not just for drinking but for showering and washing your clothes and dishes and so forth. If there's one thing that you really want to make sure not to scrimp on is the having the best, cleanest water that you possibly can. What's the best way that I'm sure you have conversations with homeowners every day about their particular situation. What's the best way for them to reach out to Advanced Water Systems?
Well, they can certainly visit our website at kineticocharleston.com. That's KINETICO. Charleston.com, or they can call our office at 843-645-4450. Mm-hmm. Yep. And we would be more than happy to schedule an appointment to come out. We do, like I said, we do a free water analysis. It takes about 15 minutes, and then we can show the homeowner what different products we have that may be able to help them.
If you live in, would you say that older neighborhoods or newer neighborhoods are more susceptible to some of these different problems we've been talking about?
You know, it really depends on the water source. There's no real correlation to what neighborhood, you know, whether it's north, south, east, west, in Charleston. It's just a matter of the water coming through. Downtown Charleston, we seem to have more of an issue with people having small amounts of lead in their water just from some of their old plumbing or some of the old infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotcha. Well, we have been, and you can always find Advanced Water Systems within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on our website, charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with Dan Geiger about a very, very important topic, how to remove forever chemicals from your water. Thanks so much, Dan.
Thank you very much, and have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured on today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next weekend.